Vishnu Priya, who's consort of Lord Chaitanya, of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Raghunandan Thakur, all associates of Chaitanya Leela, and also the most illustrious appearance of Raghunandas Goswami. And today also happens to be in India, Vasant Panchami, which is the first day of spring. So we have to honor these great personalities and also the coming of spring. So we're going to discuss today specifically one of our principal acharyas, Raghunandan Goswami, and also Vasant Panchami in relation to Krishna. So you can repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Namabhasya, Srila Raghunandan Goswami, was most probably born in the year 1416, Sankalpa, AD 1494. In a Kayastha family as the son of Govardhan Majumdar, who was the younger brother of the then Zamindar, Iranya Majumdar. The village where he took birth is known as Sri Krishnapur. On the railway line between Calcutta and Burdwan is the station named Trishabhaga, now known as Adi Shaktagra, and about 1.5 miles away is the village of Sri Krishnapur, where the parental home of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami was situated. A temple of Sri Sri Radha Govinda is still there. In front of the temple is a large open area, but no large hall for devotees to assemble. A rich Calcutta gentleman named Harichandran Ghosh, who resided in the Simla quarter, recently repaired the temple. The entire temple compound is surrounded by walls, and in a small room just on the side of the temple is a small platform on which Raghunath Das Goswami used to worship the deity. By the side of the temple is the dying river Saraswati. Today is also the occasion of Saraswati Puja. The forefathers of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami were all Vaishnavas and were very rich men. His spiritual master at home was Yagunandan Acharya. Although Raghunath Das was a family man, he had no attachment for his estate and wife. Seeing his tendency to leave home, his father and uncle engaged special bodyguards to watch over him. But nevertheless, he managed to escape their vigilance and went away to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This incident took place in the year 1439, circa AD 1517. Raghunath Das Goswami compiled three books, namely Stavamala or Stavavali, Dhammacharita, and Muktacharita. He lived a long time, residing for most of his life at Raghakund, the place where Raghunath Das Goswami performed his devotional service, still exists by Raghakund. He almost completely gave up eating, and therefore he is very skinny and of weak health. His only concern was to chant the holy name of the Lord. He gradually reduced his sleeping until he was almost not sleeping at all. It is said that his eyes were always full of tears. When Srinivasa Acharya went to see Raghunath Das Goswami, the Goswami blessed him by embracing him, and Srinivasa Acharya requested his blessings for preaching in Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami granted them. In the Gaur-Garuda Dipika 186, it is stated that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was formerly the gopi name Rasa Manjari. Sometimes it is said that he was Rati Manjari. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ajnananjana Shalakaya Rakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama where he gives quite explicit detail of the location of this particular holy place, of the appearance place of about Radha's Goswami. In a way, Srila Prabhupada says, interesting, amazing also. Srila Prabhupada says, the village where he took birth is known as Sri Krishnapur. On the railway line between Calcutta and Burdwan is a station named Trishabhaga, now known as Adishaptaka, and about 1.5 miles away is the village of Sri Krishnapur, where the parental home of Sri Bhagavanatas Goswami was situated. Then he talks more in detail about the temple of Radha Govinda, and he talks about the exact way the temple looks without. It is a small room and surrounded by walls, and on the side is a small platform in which Bhagavanatas Goswami used to worship the deity. Now, in various purports like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can actually take this book and it gives you exact locations of places. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he was translating Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wasn't in this particular location. He was sitting in various places in ISKCON temples. And he actually completed the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Juhu, in Mumbai, on the occasion of Rama Akadashi, which happens in, during the month of Kartik. Now, I'm not sure it is here, but it's on the occasion of Rama Akadashi. In the last canto of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada mentions of the concluding words. And at times he was translating his Chaitanya Charitamrita in Los Angeles, where they went on a marathon to actually print it, you know, within 3 months. So how this personality like Srila Prabhupada knows such detail, so many miles? Not only that, he knows the old name of that place, you know, the old name of that place is Trishabhaga, and now it is known as Adishaptaka. He knows the original name and he knows the new name. And he knows exactly how the temple looks. So one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, when he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was reading these earlier volumes, this is the Adi Lila, he said, Srila Prabhupada, how do you know which railway line is where? Which temple is where, how many kilometers there, and then this side is greenery, that side is forest, and this is how the courtyard of the temple looks. And how do you know? Then Srila Prabhupada says, I have put that in my book so that you can go and visit these places. He didn't answer the question how he knows. And even for South India, he'll say the same thing. How you go to Adikesha temple where the Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter, was found, he gives you exact details. So it is not possible for an ordinary, regular devotee, and neither it is possible for a regular Mahabhagavat. Srila Prabhupada is not your regular Uttama. He is a Shakta Avesh. He is chosen to be especially empowered by Lord Chaitanya and by Radha Shamasa. Especially empowered. He is a Shakta Avesh. Shakta Avesh is very rare and few. They are not regular Mahabharat devotees. So a Shakta Avesh is generally a person who is a Tripalagya. Tripalagya means he can see in all 10 directions and he can see the past, present and future. Prabhupada didn't claim to be like that, but when he writes like this and you're thinking this is poetry, no, when you actually go to the place it is like that. This is just one of so many poems. So one incident in relation to Prabhupada being a Tripalagya is that when Srila Prabhupada was, after some great fight to get the land in Juru in Mumbai, then there was another fight to get permission to build a temple, to start the construction. So when he got permission to start the construction, there was a very great well-wisher, practically a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and his name was Mr. P.L. Sethi. I personally met him on many occasions. He's late now. He volunteered to assist with the construction because he owned a construction company. But he's a devotee by heart and a devotee by birth. So when Srila Prabhupada requested him to help to do the construction, especially the laying the foundation and the piling. So Mr. P.L. said, he said, Swamiji, this is not your business. You know, you are a sadhu. I am a construction man. So I'll do what I have to do. You just do what you have to do as a saintly person and a sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada said, but still, for me, constructing a temple for Sri Srinath Rasa Bihari is also Krishna Kirtan. It's part of the Sankirtan movement. So you've got to come and check with me before you start anything major on the construction. Because although you are giving your services to construct without any labor charges, we have to pay for the machines and we have to pay for the materials. So you've got to check with me. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada, he personally supervised things. Although he had Surabhi Abhipalayantam Swami with him, and he had Giriraj Swami with him as the president then. But still he wanted to personally supervise this particular. Actually it was his pet project. Srila Prabhupada spent, while traveling all over the world, he wouldn't spend more than 10 days or less in a place. But for Juru, the beginning of the construction, he spent continuously 3 months in one place, in Juru. Training, teaching, you know, and overseeing things and so forth. So Mr. Sethi said, okay, Swamiji, okay, I will check with you. So when you're building a very colossal, huge temple like Juru, you know, you have to go very deep down for the foundation. And deep down means using these big machines with these big drills, to drill right down, to lay down these pillars, to go right down, because you're holding this massive marble structure, several floors. So before he could do that, meditation of Prabhupada. And he said, you know, I have to start the piling. You call that piling. You go right down practically, you know, sometimes, you know, 100 meters or more down. You have to go right down. It depends on how high the building goes. And besides, the whole building is marble. So Mr. Sethi, he approached the Prabhupada, he had free access, and he came. And he said, you know, we have to start piling. Means hiring these big machines and drills to go down to put the pillars. And it requires some money. So Srila Prabhupada replied, here there's no need for piling. So Mr. Sethi said something like, but you have to, because you're putting this huge structure. He said, there's no need for piling. You can get a smaller machine and you go only so much down. So again, Mr. Sethi said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he called him Swamiji, you know, you're not a construction man. You don't know anything about construction, so don't bother. But Srila Prabhupada said, I am not paying for these big machines to come and waste my time. I know you don't need such heavy piling. He said, I am not paying. And Mr. Sethi said, okay, you don't have to pay, I will pay. Then you can do, but I am not paid because I don't need it. So Mr. Sethi, when you were speaking about this, I actually recorded it on a tape way back in 1992, because I was doing interviews for the book to be compiled. The book is being processed to be compiled. So I was interviewing him, and he said, I will pay. If you want to waste your money but not Krishna's name, you go. So he hired this big machine and it was drilling. It probably went down about 10 meters, the machine. Because you have to go deeper than that to hold this colossal large structure. So the machine was drilling. And when it hit down 10 meters, you know the bit, you call it a bit, the big round bit, you know, it drills like a screwdriver bit. So he hit that 10 meters down or so, and it couldn't go any further, and the bit broke. Now it cost him more money because this equipment broke, the bit broke. He said, what is this? So then he said, okay, now try another place with another bit. But don't go too much. If you hit something, then don't worry. So he hit the second time, and it hit, and he couldn't go further. He didn't want to break this, but it cost him more. He's hiring these big machines. He said, this is strange. Then he remembered what Srila Prabhupada said. There's no need to go very deep. He remembered. So he left, and he quickly came back to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you said something about not going very down. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. He said, how did you know? Srila Prabhupada said, that is history. I used to go to Scottish Churches College, and they used to teach me the history of India. And I was very intrigued about the peninsula, which is Bombay. Bombay is a peninsula, it means like Cape Town. It goes into the sea, the land goes into the sea, there's some part of the land. You know, most of it's surrounded by water. And he said, how did you know? And then he said, Srila Prabhupada said, I knew because this is the old riverbed, this is the old seabed and the riverbed that goes into the Arabian Sea. And now it has been like covered by land. So what you're hitting there is the bottom of the ocean that was previously was the ocean. So Prabhupada told him, he says, history. Mrs. said, no. You couldn't have known this. And this is like thousands of years ago when the sea moves away, you know? And then land comes and then the sea takes other land. Couldn't have done this. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, you are a Trikalagya. You know, tree means 1, 2, 3. Past, present, and future. And Trikalagya means can see in the 10 directions. And 10 directions means east, west, north, south. That's 4. East, west, north, south. That's 4. And then in between, you know, like northeast, southeast, you know, like that. That's another 4. So that's 8 directions. And then below, number 9 direction. And up, 10. That's 10 directions. Trikalagya. Srila Prabhupada. So one professor asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, when he was reading this purport, this is also for scholar, he said, how do you know that's 1.5 miles? How do you know this is that location, that location? Then Srila Prabhupada said, I don't know. Then the scholar, professor, you know, he said, you know, you're giving me the right answer, but I work within this mundane dimension, so can you give me an answer that I can understand? Then Srila Prabhupada said, I don't know. Then the man was insisting, the scholar, and then the disciples were there. The disciples were there. Then they said, you know, one of the disciples, you know, he thought maybe, you know, Srila Prabhupada doesn't really want to relate to this person. Because he just said, I don't, it's a scholar, came to meet Srila Prabhupada. So one of the disciples told the scholar, you know, our spiritual master, his divine grace, he said, Bhakti Goswami Prabhupada, referring to Srila Prabhupada, he said that he is personally inspired by God. So now the professor has something to think about and ask something more. So that disciple who said that, you know, he's coming from a Christian background. He's American, Christian background, or Jewish background. So the professor, scholar, he asked the disciple in front of Srila Prabhupada, oh, you mean that your guru is personally inspired by God, just as Moses was personally inspired by God through the burning bush? In Christian theology, the person who spoke to God, the only person who actually spoke to God, they feel strongly about, is Moses. It's well known. Now, you are telling me, according to the professor to this disciple, you are telling me that he is in the category of Moses? Now, you know, you put someone on the level of Moses in the Western world, you know, wow. Moses is second to none. And Moses gave the 10 commandments. That's big thing. Like we have 4 regular principles, 10 commandments. So you mean to say, this person, you are telling me, is personally inspired by God, just as Moses was inspired by God, who was speaking to the burning bush. In other words, he's challenging it. He's challenging the disciple that you are putting your guru on the category of Moses.
Moses is the only one who God spoke. You know, through the burning bush. And Srila Prabhupada saw this thing was. It's like, you know, they were having this conversation, this scholar and this devotee. Prabhupada was hearing, but, you know, Prabhupada is not much interested in the biblical situation or theology of Christianity. He was not really interested, but he caught it, you know. He could understand that this scholar was trying to challenge that, how can you say that your guru is like our Moses? You know, he's trying. So Prabhupada caught that. Then Prabhupada said, then the scholar is looking at Prabhupada to acknowledge whether the disciple is saying something right about him. Because Prabhupada has to say, yes, I'm personally inspired by God. So then this scholar, he asked him, so, you know, he is saying, he's your disciple. He's saying about you that you are personally inspired by God. Is this true? Because he wants the answer directly from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, no. So then the scholar said, so that means you're disagreeing with him, you know, like with your own disciple, that you're not personally inspired by God. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. Then he asked, what is it? The scholar said, and Srila Prabhupada said, God is dictating and I am personally writing. This is Srila Prabhupada. It's like telling him, you know, I am just giving my own purport. It's like telling the scholar professor, Christian scholar professor, your Moses was only inspired. He didn't even see him. He didn't even see God. And that too, he was like seeing a burning bush which he could not even approach. It's like the Brahman effulgence or something. But I am telling you that God is dictating and I am personally writing. And then the scholar asks, so who is that God? Prabhupada looked at his disciples. The disciples told him, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So later on, it's like by the mercy of this inquisitiveness of this professor, that answer came out. If that professor wasn't pushing like that, comparing Prabhupada to Moses, Prabhupada would not have said it, because it's a very confidential thing. It's a very intimate thing to say. That, you know, Krishna is dictating and I'm personally writing. It's like Vyasadeva is speaking and Ganapati is personally writing. So later on, you know, the disciples were like amazed. You mean Krishna is dictating and Srila Guru Prabhupada is writing? So intimate. See? Well, Krishna is speaking and Prabhupada is writing, so intimate. So later on, you know, they were like, and the scholar could see that these disciples were shocked, you know. What is this? So later on in the room, one of the secretaries, you know, Prabhupada, he said that, so Krishna is dictating and you are writing. Then Srila Prabhupada played it down. You know, like, he realized what he said, and, you know, he couldn't take back his words. He couldn't take. But that was by the mercy of the inquisitiveness of that scholar. Because he wanted to say, you know, I'm not your Moses. and more than that. Much more than that. So, you know, so in the room, the second case, maybe a few days after, because everyone was like, you know, what is this? Because Prabhupada never revealed such things. So in the second case, was asking one of the second case, important, you know, leading devotees. So Prabhupada, you know, he said that. So Prabhupada said, no, it's not really like that. I said, what? What you told the professor? Srila Prabhupada said, see, my spiritual master said, Srila Bhakti 77 Siddhartha, that you should act in such a way that Krishna sees you. That is all I'm doing. I mean, acting in such a way that Krishna sees me. Then he gave that famous statement. He said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna sees you. In other words, sometimes Srila Prabhupada says something, then he realizes it was too intimate. So this is this divine place, you see, Bhaktivedanta Swami. I'm sure you know. He is not just a Gautama Adhikara, he's not just your regular acharya. Not just your regular acharya. We have so many acharya. And he's not like a regular devotee or a regular personality. Not like that. Trikalagi. So then, this Mr. P.L. Sethi, you know, he learned a great lesson like that. So, he used to come to Srila Prabhupada, and he asked him questions about anything and everything, from science to physics to construction, to how to live decently and culturally in family life. And Prabhupada answered every question of his. So then he finally came to the conclusion. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you know everything. Mm-hmm. And Srila Prabhupada immediately retorted, no, I don't know everything. Srila Prabhupada, he changed from calling him Swamiji to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, but you answered all my questions, everything, no doubt. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that may be there, but don't say I know everything. And again he said, no, you know everything. How can I say you don't know? You know everything. So then Srila Prabhupada said, no, because I know the knower of everything, then it appears that I know everything. And who's the knower of everything? Krishna. Because I know Krishna, therefore I can know everything. But you cannot say that I know everything because I cannot take the place of Krishna. Very humble, super humble, naturally humble, affectionately humble, Srila Prabhupada. Immediately. So this is quite amazing personality. Now, coming back to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted him into the care of Swarupa Damodara.
Goswami, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary. Now, the confidential service that they both engaged in was to take care, personal care of Lord Chaitanya. Swarup Damodara attended to the Lord taking his bath, attended to the Lord's meals, and put him to rest, and also he gave him massage. And Raghunatha Goswami assisted Swarup Damodara Goswami in this service. In effect, Srila Prabhupada says that Raghunatha Goswami, he acted as the assistant, the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very intimate and very, very confidential service. After Lord Chaitanya left in Puri, this planet, and also Swarup Damodara Goswami left the planet, in the two most intimate, you could say, the masters that gave him service. Raghunatha Goswami could not bear to stay in Jagannathpuri. Because everywhere he sees, he's reminded, you know, this is what the Lord was, this is what I used to do, this is what Swarup Goswami used to do. So he was getting, you could say, mad and crazy. So he decided to go to Vrindavan, where this intimate service was not present in that sense. So when he came to Vrindavan and to see basically his elder Shiksha Gurus, Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, and he said, after I take their darshan, then I'll give up my life. So giving up the life means you have to do some aparad, you have to commit some offense. He said, I will commit the offense of walking on Govardhan Hill, and then I'll go on top and I'll jump down. In other words, he wanted to take his life because he couldn't bear the separation of especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Swarup Damodara Goswami. So he came to Vrindavan, he visited Srila Rupa and Sanatan, offered his obeisances, but Rupa and Sanatan knew his consciousness. So they told him, you can't do this. He didn't tell them he's going to do this, but they told him that you cannot commit suicide. So they pacified him and they kept him in their company. Right. Such is the great love, you know, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he decided to do something else to give up his body. Alright, if you don't want me to commit suicide, then I will stop eating and stop drinking medicine. So he went on a fast. Gradually gave up all food and all he used to especially take some butter. And then as a daily duty, he regularly offered obeisances to at least 1,000 devotees daily and chanted at least 100,000 names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then after that, offering further to 2,000 Vaishnavas daily obeisances. Just falling on the ground, chanting, falling on the ground to Vaishnavas, chanting, falling. He had no external awareness, no external awareness. Raghunatha Goswami. And day and night, he used to absorb himself in Radha Krishna Leela and remembrance of service to Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And then, feeling so much separation, that he naturally used to speak about Lord Chaitanya, you know? And there's his bhajan kuti at Radha Kund.
So you should just sit there and speak about Lord Chaitanya. But speak to no one. But while speaking, people used to come, and thousands used to come and hear him speak about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was not aware of his audience. He was not aware of the people in front of him. He was so absorbed in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And as a daily, you could say, not a ritual, but as a daily a spiritual samskara, in a sense, he bathed three times on the edge of the Radhakund lake. He wouldn't go right in because the actual Radhakund is a small pond in the middle of the waters that is very right down beneath it. It's a sacred pond, as you can see. It has a separate effulgence when they actually excavate all the water. You can see there's one small thing. They don't go near that. As soon as he finds a new Vaishnava coming to Vrindavan or in Braj Mandala, anywhere, he used to immediately approach that Vaishnava, welcoming with sweet words, and then this startled Vaishnava who's new around, wondering, you know, who's this elderly person? And so he asked him, who are you? He said, no, I'm simply a servant of the Vaishnavas. And since you are new, you must feel that you have come home. You know, you have to make you feel at home. He was the best host. The best host. And Srila Prabhupada used to say that he used to engage in devotional service in various ways, like offering obeisances to Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names, welcoming new Vaishnavas that he sees for the first time, bathing in the edge of Radhakund, and so forth like that. Srila Prabhupada used to say that he was completely conscious of his activities for 23 and a half hours a day. So he only went into internal samadhi for half hour. And then Srila Prabhupada said that if anybody wants to take bath in Radhakund, they should follow in his footsteps. Should follow in his in the footsteps of Radhakund. Giving up eating and giving up sleeping. That's the actual real snap. Everything else is called bhakti abhas. It's a shadow reflection of the original nature of bhakti or devotion. And he said he exemplified what is a residence of Jivadoya, welcoming any new person, feel at home, take care of them, compassion, and Vaishnava Seva. And one time, when another Babaji asked Raghunatha Goswami, you know, you don't eat. You don't sleep. You know. Why is this? So Raghunatha Goswami said, you know, I do not eat because I see so many people do not have food to eat. And the Babaji said, no. Raghunath Das Swami gave an external answer, and very carefully hiding his internal state. In other words, his internal state is absorbed as Rati Manjari, as Manjari, who is the personal assistant of Srimati Radharani. So therefore we offer our obeisances through the consciousness of Krishna, as Kaviraj was talking. Rupa Raghunatha Abhi. And I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunatha Goswami. That means Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. So he very carefully, not hidden his internal state of consciousness, but it was natural for him to give an answer, even to another Brijvasi, by saying, I cannot eat if somebody is starving. But actually he was not really hungry. He was thirsty, he was hankering more for the internal, the internal service to Shishirana Krishna. There is an interesting situation about how he is always absorbed internally, and he was never really absorbed, you know, externally. In Radhakund itself, Raghunath Das Goswami never really lived in any fixed residence. He actually was staying under a different tree each night. Different tree each night. Sometimes he would be bothered by materialistic people. So he used to leave Radhakund and stay on the banks of a nearby kund, which is not very far, in Govardhan town, in a Govardhan town called the Manasigam. So these areas, those days, the Goswami days, there was no buildings. Everything was forest with wild, ferocious animals and poisonous venomous snakes. But Raghunath Das Goswami was not living externally. So one day Sanatana Goswami, he came to the banks of Manasi Ganga to meet Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So before Sanatana Goswami could accept his noonday meal at the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, which is even there today on the banks of Manasi Ganga, he went to take bath in a particular ghat at Manasi Ganga called Pavan Ghat. And from there, Sanatana Goswami saw the two tigers, very hungry, was coming to the kund, and after drinking some water, they ran off. So he was startled to see this like that. But when he was startled to see that the tigers were going away, then he was even more wonderstruck to see Krishna is standing there. Krishna is standing at some distance, observing everything. What was Krishna doing? Krishna was guarding that these tigers would not come towards Raghunath Das Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami saw this, and he came to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he lovingly chastised him. He said, you see, you are taking service from Krishna, that he must protect you from these tigers. Why don't you actually just build one hut and do your bhajan inside the hut? So then Raghunath Das Goswami said, "Oh, you saw Krishna?" Sanatana Goswami said, Oh, okay. In other words, he's glorifying Sanatana Goswami. Oh, you saw Krishna, and I'm searching for Krishna through my bhajan, but you saw him. You saw him. Then Sanatana Goswami said, never mind. Because he didn't want to admit he saw Krishna. Yeah, humble. But he said, at least you build a hut. I saw the two tigers you built that, and you stayed in the hut. So, you know, he still didn't bother Raghunath Das Goswami to build a small hut as his bhajan kutir. And one time he was completely oblivious to his external surroundings. And the sun was noontime, you know, noonday, 12 noon. Sun was blistering down, you know, causing so much pain to his body, but he didn't know a thing. He was completely internally absorbed in his bhajan. And then who happened to pass by? Who knows? Come on. Srimati Radharani happened to pass by. Now she is Dr. Kanchana Gaurangi. She is the form of flowing molten gold. Kanchana. Flowing molten gold. So when the sun's rays come down, it is the same color of flowing molten gold. So when Radharani appears during the sun's rays coming down, you cannot really see. She's there but cannot be seen. But she happened to pass. And she saw that the sun's rays was practically beating down on the form of Raghunath Das Goswami's head. So what did she do? It's a famous painting. She stood behind him and she took out a veil. Now her veil and the sun's rays are two different things. When she's blocking the sun with the veil, the sun cannot penetrate. It's a transcendental veil. It's not just like a regular piece of black cloth or something. This veil is transparent, but it's blocking the sun. Right. Then Sanatana Goswami also came along. So when Radharani was blocking the sun with a veil, she was also blocking herself from the sun from the back. So this Kanchana, this golden rays of the sun was also blocked, and he saw, this is Radharani. He saw, this is Radharani. And not only that, he saw that there was profuse perspiration coming down Radharani's form because she was holding that veil, you know, against the sun. So Sanatana Goswami, he was walking towards Radharani, and then suddenly she disappeared. So he came to Raghunath Das Goswami and he reminded him. He didn't tell him that he saw Srimati because he can't say now. First you saw Krishna, now you saw Radharani. I'm trying for this, but you are seeing. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami will say, I'm trying, but you are seeing. So he said, I humbly requested, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, you please, you build a hut for yourself. And he immediately agreed, immediately complied. That is the same place where his samadhi is today, on the banks of Radhakur. That's where he built his hut. And he's placed in the same place. This 24-hour Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan goes on day in, day out, for hundreds of years in the same place. So we'll just say one more about Raghunath Das Goswami. Very intimate to Srila Prabhupada. In Vraj, there are left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis. Now when we do deity worship, on what side is Radharani from Krishna's side? Yes, on Krishna's left. So then you'll know that she's a left-wing gopi. The right-wing gopi is the younger sister of Radharani, and her name is Chandravali. So the father of Radharani, his name is Vrishabhan, and the father of Chandravali, his name is Chandrabhanu. Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu are elder and younger brothers. And therefore Radharani, daughter of Vrishabhanu, and Chandravali, daughter of Chandrabhanu, are sisters. One younger sister, Chandravali, older sister, Radharani. So, Ravana Dasa Swami, he knows internally that he is a personal maidservant of Srimati Radharani. And he also knows that he has to guard against the, you could say, inquisitiveness and the shyness of Chandravali. And Radharani is very bossy. Very? Yeah. She tells Krishna what to do. Like that. So if your wife tells you what to do, don't think that she's Radharani. That's completely Maya. So, when Krishna, you know, it's like, it becomes too much for Krishna sometimes, when Radharani repeatedly tells him what to do. But in a transcendental way. So then Krishna leaves Srimati Radharani and he goes to Chandravali. And then the relationship is opposite. Chandravali always listens to what Krishna says. So Radharani bosses Krishna and Krishna bosses Chandravali. That's how it works. So around Radha Kund, there's many other kunds like that. So one day there was another, you could say friend of Raghunath Das Goswami, but not close friend, but not intimate friend either, but friend. So his name is Sridas Brijbasi, this friend, Sridas Brijbasi. So every day, because Raghunath Das Goswami was his friend, and Raghunath Das Goswami felt that yes, our friendship is there. So every day, this Sridas Brijbasi used to bring Raghunath Das Goswami one small leaf cup, very small leaf cup of buttermilk. Because, you know, Sridas Brijbasi, he used to tell Raghunath Das Goswami, look, you're not eating anything. If you don't eat, I don't feel feel like eating. So many people are saying, you're not eating, but you're my friend. I can't withstand this. You take this one leaf cup full of butter. Take it. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to always take this little buttermilk as much as he can drink, and then engage in his bhajan and kirtan and Chaitanya Leela Katha throughout the day. So one day, the Sridhar's Brijvasi, he has many cows. So there's a place nearby that's called Sakhistali. And that particular place, Sakhistali, is the another name for Chandravari's Kund. Like you get Radha Kund and Chandravari's Kund. But they won't call it Chandravari's Kund because that name immediately brings anxiety to Radharani. Krishna will leave. That name, Chandravari. She has a beautiful name, Chandra Avali. Avali means teeth. And Chandravali means those beautiful teeth when she gently smiles, not laughs, gently smiles, that puts the moon to shame. You know? And those beautiful teeth, when it smiles, it gives off such soothing rays that the moon covers itself in shame. Therefore, Chandra Avali. Chandra. So Krishna is always, you could say, you know, bewildered by a very slight smile when she shows a teeth like Chandravali. So that place is called Sakhistali. So this Sridhar's Brijvasi one day, he took his cows to that area to graze. You know, freely grazing at Sakhistali, which is actually another name for Chandravali's Kund. So there he saw a tree. And the particular name of the copper picture tree is Sava Palash tree. And that particular tree has bigger leaves to make leaf cups than the regular smaller leaf that makes smaller cups to carry buttermilk to give Raghunath Das Goswami. So he thought, this is a nice place. So he gathered some bunch of leaves so that he could put more buttermilk in a bigger leaf from this Sava Palash tree. So the next day, he was very happy and so forth that he could now offer more buttermilk in a bigger leaf cup from the Sava Palash tree. So he brought this new looking leaf cup, which was not in the immediate vicinity, in the immediate kunjas, would buttermilk to Raghunath Das Goswami, who accepted the leaf cup of buttermilk. But before he could drink, he said, Sri Das Ji, where did you get these nice, you know, polished leaves with this beautiful leaf cup? I haven't seen this before in this vicinity. Where did you get this? Then Sri Das Ji, like a matter of fact, he replied, oh, Goswamiji, you know, I was pasturing my cows. I came to Sakhistali. I found them there. Immediately, when Raghunath Das Goswami heard the name Sakhistali, like that, he flew into a big rage, like that, and he threw the leaf cup with the buttermilk away in his hand. And everyone was surprised and shocked. He never gets angry. How is this? And then Raghunath Das Goswami saw that they were shocked. And he was also shocked at himself. And then he said, we the followers of Srimati Radharani, we never ever accept anything from that place. Like that. And he just walked away. Then they understood. And Sridhar Babaji and others understood. They were amazed at the so intimate, close devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami to Srimati Radharani. That there mustn't be any competitor. Not even a leaf cut. Not even a leaf from the tree of that place of the competitor should come to us. Because these Kalpavriksha trees, they carry consciousness. And he knows, as soon as he drinks from that leaf cup, with that buttermilk is coming in that cup, he will get that consciousness to be a little bit more nicer to Chandravali. And he doesn't want that. Because it will make him lose his loyalty and chastity to Srimati Radha. This is the internal intimacy of the ascended associates of the Lord. Okay, we have a few minutes. If you have any comments or questions, you can ask. We didn't really touch on Vasan Panchami for today. Anyone? Yes. Yeah, he's in the category of Narada Muni and others. Trikala Gyan.
Last time you mentioned that Mahatma Mahadeva. So.
And don't change the subject, I don't want to discuss it. You're coming to another thing. We're talking about, you know, Sakhi, Stali, Radha, Kund, Prabhupada. Then you want to speak about Gandhiji. Well, what's the connection? Yeah, but if you bring it to another mundane level, you know, about Gandhi. You're changing the mood. You understand? I don't want to go take rest remembering Gandhiji in relation to Prabhupada. You asked me the question a few days ago, right? Now you want to discuss that here?
No,
I gave you the answer that day. You were saying, your question is very simple. Your question is that Srila Prabhupada knows past, present and future. Why didn't he know whether Gandhi chanted Ram at the time of death or not? That is your question now. But I'm not going to answer that. You understand? Yeah. You know, Srila Prabhupada can reveal himself as a Trikala Gya only to certain people. Srila Prabhupada knew that this disciple is lying through his teeth, right? But will Srila Prabhupada say you are lying? Will Prabhupada say that? Prabhupada will never say that. Prabhupada knows he is lying, but Prabhupada will treat him in such a way, deal with him in such a way that if Prabhupada told him you are a liar, he will leave Prabhupada, isn't it? So Prabhupada will not say that. Prabhupada will say, no, okay, I understand you made mistakes. Continue to chant Hare Krishna, try to follow us. So if somebody asks you, Prabhupada, did Gandhi remember, say, hey Ram at the time of leaving his body? Then Srila Prabhupada gave the answer at that time to that person that, you know, I was not there. How do you? I do not know. Then you may ask the question, you know, if he's Trikala Gyan, Prabhupada would know. See? But Prabhupada is answering the question to a particular consciousness of a particular person. Yeah. A Another time, Srila Prabhupada told another person that when he asked about Gandhi, then he said that Gandhi wanted the kingdom of Ram without Ram. You understand? He wants the kingdom of Ram without Ram. So how can he remember Ram at the time of death? Understand? So Prabhupada answers differently to different people. He cannot declare himself that I am Trikalagya to everyone. He only declares himself to be to that extent. And he does not even say that he is Trikalagya. People can assess how this person is Trikalagya. Others can say that. He cannot. He doesn't say that. See? Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. One of the Brijbasis asked him, why are you not eating? Can you tell that Brijbasi, if he's not intimate with him, I'm always absorbed internally in service to Srimati Radharani? Did he give that answer? What answer did he give? If so many people don't have food to eat, why should I eat? Isn't it? Now that's a different answer to a type of person who's asking a question in that type of consciousness. He cannot reveal his internal state and consciousness. Similarly, what you look up about. One disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, who are you in Krishna Leela? Srila Prabhupada said, if I had to tell you, you would faint. And that's his own disciple. So we cannot say that, is Srila Prabhupada really a Trikalagya? Why did he say like this in relation to Gandhi? Why did he say like this in relation to his disciple? We cannot say that. It depends on who is asking the question, and it depends on the consciousness of the person, and it depends on the relationship of the person to the person that is asking the question to. Is that all right? So, any other questions? But I'll conclude with something because I want to change it here. Okay. On Vasant Panchami, which is the occasion of today in India, which is springtime, you get two types of rasa lila. So, one rasa lila is during Sarat Purnima, which is autumn. So autumn in India, Sarat Purnima is the beginning of Kartika. The first day of Kartika is called Sarat Purnima. Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. So I'll just complete with this and then we can conclude. Okay? So Sarat Purnima falls on the first day of Kartika, which is the autumn rasa lila. And the autumn rasa lila is played out by Krishna when he plays his flute at Vamsivan in Vrindavan. And you can read that very clearly in Krishna book. Okay? And the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this particular rasa lila in Vamsivan in Vrindavan, at the first day of Kartika, all the gopis come to dance for Krishna. That means Chandravali's group as well as Radharani's group. See? Can you sit still? Now, when Krishna sees the pride of Chandravali's gopis, Chandravali's group and their gopis with him in the rasa lila, he disappears. Right? And then there's so many beautiful verses of the gopis' songs of separation. He disappears. So when he disappears, then all the gopis look for him in the bushes of Vrindavan from Vamsivan. But then some of these gopis from Chandravali's group, they see that now, oh, we see Krishna's footprints, but also there's another set of footprints. So they become envious of that gopi. It's actually Srimati Radharani. So Krishna disappeared so that Radharani could look for him and he could be alone with Buddha. At the same time, what he did. So at that point, when Radharani said, "I'm very tired, can you please carry me?" See? Then Krishna, I'm just cutting the pastime short. Then Krishna said, "Okay, you get on my shoulder." So Krishna bent down, and Radharani was supposed to get on his shoulder, and he disappeared again. Then the other group, Radharani's group of gopis, found him. Said, "Oh, it was you." "Yes, he left me too." And she was in more separation than them, than they pacified her. So in this Sarat Purnima, in autumn, in Kartik, the first day of Kartik, Krishna leaves the Rasa Leela and runs away. And Radharani runs after him. And Radharani always remembers in her consciousness that he made me run after him. And not only that, when I caught up with him, he left me and he also ran away again. He made me suffer so much. She always remembers that. Today is Vasant Panchami. And in Vasant Panchami, only Radharani and her sakis, only the left-wing gopis led by Radharani, they have Rasa Leela today, tonight, Vasant Panchami, springtime Rasa Leela, at Rasasthali and Govardhan, not in the Vrindavan, at Govardhan. But what happens this time? Radharani remembers. He, last time, he left us and he ran away. And I was the first one to run after him. And again, when he was with me, he left me alone and I was suffering more than the other gopis. They were proud, I became more proud than I'm alone. So he left me also. So she kept a watchful eye on Krishna. In this Rasa Leela and Govardhan on Vasant Panchami. So while she's keeping a watchful eye on Krishna, she cannot dance. Because, you know, she has to see that he must not run away, like he did the last time. See? And last time she thought he ran away, maybe he's with Chandravali. But this time Chandravali is not here, and her team is not here. Only my team is here to engage in Rasa Leela. So she watched him carefully, and Krishna knows that Radharani is completely fixed. You know, like she trapped him. She trapped him in a firm gaze. "You cannot leave my sight. You cannot escape." But then what happens to her? She's looking at Krishna and Krishna is looking at her. Simultaneously, she sees that Krishna is dancing with all of her other friends and gopis. And he's having a great time. And he is in his like expansion, so to speak, you know, Shamarupa. You know, he's in his expansion, he's dancing with each other gopi, and she's like, "Okay, you're dancing with them, then I don't feel like staying here." So this time, Radharani leaves the Rasa Leela and she runs away. Because everything is Nava Nava Ras, the same thing cannot happen twice. And she runs away from the Rasa Leela, practically runs away. And into the caves and the forest around over there. So when she runs away, Krishna said, "Oh, she's gone." And then he runs after Radha. This is told by, not in the 10th canto, not in the Krishna book, it is told by Ramananda Raya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, go higher, go higher, go higher. And what is the highest? The highest is not that when Radharani runs after Krishna in Vamsika. The highest is when Krishna runs after Srimati Radharani. That happens on this day of this particular rasa. At Rasa Stali around Govardhan. It's a beautiful day. Nice to cook sweet rice and put. You know, sweet rice? We get this nectar rays of the moon on this moonlit night. Four of us are punching. Alright, you don't mind the Ramvichar? Haribol? It's okay? I had to wind up on this. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yeah.
Anant Koti Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Ramananda Goswami Ki.
Yeah.
Shiva Sai.